The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago, and it is hot, folks. They're talking about triple digits in the city of Chicago for the coming days. Triple damn digits. It's going to be hot. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio right here. This show is all about making the world a better place if we can. Every time I talk about making the world a better place, it seems like it's just somebody else's, you know, something else goes wrong. But we're going to hang in there and keep saying we're going to try and make the world a better place, at least a better place than what it is already. And we're going to stick to that, folks. And my guest is author Dr. Nancy Hartwell. She is an advocate for human trafficking. And that should be interesting. That should be very, very interesting. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be talking about human trafficking and probably some of the things that are going on today in the world, because I always like to say current. You know, I always try to make, you know, every time I do a show, I try to make sure that the current show is better than the last show. But sometimes, you know, the last shows are always, I mean, previous shows have been great. I mean, my previous shows have been great, and I'm always looking for something to make the show even greater, even more fun. This is fun, folks. I mean, most of the guests that come on my show, they have fun. I mean, I have fun. That's what it's all about, is to have fun, even though we're taking on serious topics like the Republican convention. It's underway right now as I speak. On this day, if you podcast this show later on, you know that it probably won't be that. But as now, as this show is live, July 18th, Monday, July 18th, this is the day of the Republican campaign. And if you're listening to it, you will be listening. If you listen to it, the podcast, obviously you're listening to a best of show. So actually, right now we're live. We are live right out of Chicago, and the Republican convention is going on. Donald Trump. The Republican convention is now going on, and I'm hearing there's been some protesting on the convention floor. Donald Trump's wife, Ivana, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, she is set to be one of the speakers and presenters, I guess. I don't know. This guy's going to be, he's going to be nominated. There's nobody, as I can see and tell, there's nobody trying to deny him the nomination. There's no fight. There's no nothing. So it's obvious that Donald Trump is going to be their nominee for November against Hillary. That's no doubt about it. They're not going to even try to upend this guy. You know, I mean, some people are just biting their nose or holding their noses or whatever you want, and they're going to vote for him, you know, because they don't like Hillary. They don't like Hillary, and Hillary supporters don't like Donald Trump, you know, but I do think that Hillary is going to mop the floor with Donald Trump because, you know, because of Bernie Sanders supporters going over to Hillary. I think majority of them are going to get there. And then some people are not going to vote at all, folks. Some people are not going to vote at all. Why? Because they don't like either candidate. They don't like Hillary. They don't like Trump. They say, well, the hell with it. I'm not voting. Bing. But I think that's my personal view, I think that's bad. That's bad. You have the opportunity to vote. We fought long and hard and died and sweated, and you say that you're not going to vote. Okay, that's crazy. But you know, you can't change some people's mind. They want to sit home and not vote. Then you have no, when something goes wrong in your government, you have no say. You didn't participate. You have no say. You know, but that's where it is. That's where it is. That's the way it is. But hopefully that will change. We want everybody to vote. Everybody to vote. Whether you're voting for Donald Trump or whether you're voting for Hillary Clinton or you're going to write in a candidate at the ballot box on election day, do something. Be a part of the electoral process. Be a part of it. Do something. Just don't sit back and say, I'm pissed off. I don't like neither one of them. I'm not voting. Huh. That is not the way to go. That is not the way to go, folks. You want to I hope that everybody who say they're not going to vote actually vote. This is why we're in the mess we're in now, folks, because you did not vote. And you're complaining about the politicians this, the politicians that, the assholes this, the assholes that, but you didn't vote. You didn't vote. Oh, my food stamps are being cut. Oh, my God, my rental assistance is being cut. Oh, my God, my social programs are being cut and annihilated. Did you vote? No, you didn't. You sat home and you didn't vote. And now you're complaining about your welfare check being cut. You're complaining about child care. You're complaining about social services. You're complaining about public schools. You're complaining about colleges and universities. You're complaining about your local government. You have to do something about it. You're complaining about high taxes. Vote the assholes out who are constantly raising your taxes for no reason. Because when these people raise taxes, folks, I'm going to tell you, whether it's property taxes, sale taxes, when they raise taxes, they are benefiting most from the raising of taxes. They are going to get rich by raising your taxes, especially the property taxes. Okay, property taxes are so damn high, it's a shame. And a lot of you folks out there thinking that you own your home, and when you pay it completely off, you have no more mortgage. If you think you completely own that beautiful home with that two-car family garage, think again. You will never own your home, because if you don't pay your taxes, your yearly or bi-yearly taxes, the government is going to take that home, that house, that lovely village away from you. They're going to take it. If you don't, I mean, you can pay off, spend 30, 40 years paying off your house. It is still not your house if you don't pay taxes on it. If you don't pay your yearly or bi-yearly taxes, they are going to upend you out of that home. The government owns that home. As long as you're in the United States and you got to pay taxes, you're going to pay taxes. And who is responsible for raising your and my taxes? The politicians. They're the ones who are responsible. This is why you have to vote. You don't want your taxes raised. You don't want to pay for the high cost of food and living and all of this kind of thing. Vote these assholes out and put in folks that have the same interests that you have. Make sure that you don't pick out the liars, because there's a lot of lying ass politicians or would-be politicians who will say anything to get your vote. Beware of those kinds of people and only vote for honest people who are going to do the business of those folks who have voted them into office. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show at 6:11 p.m. Chicago time, folks, and I'm still reeling about the weather forecast for the coming days. They are actually talking about triple digits in the city of Chicago. I'm pretty sure it's going to be hotter someplace else, probably maybe Arizona or Nevada, but out west, I'm not sure, but I do know about Chicago. You know, I mean, if it's hot here, it's going to be hotter someplace else. The Arizona desert, for instance, is, you know, 120 degrees. That is something. So we're going to be in and out of talking about that, the weather in and out of this segment of the show. Another thing I want to say about the weather, you know, it's the weathermen in the United States, the weather central, the weather industry within the United States, they can't seem to get this right. So this may be a misnomer. You know, they can't seem to get the weather right. They can't seem to predict it dead on the money as some countries can. You know, so they're saying triple digits, and then sometimes they're saying double digits, maybe 97, 98, and then they're saying triple digits. We will just have to see what's going to happen, you know, if it comes, if it doesn't come. And because the meteorologists, I mean, they have egg on their face already because they just can't seem to get this thing right. You know, this weather thing, they can't seem to get it right. And when they can't get it right, the first thing they're saying, oh, we missed it. It didn't come. Oh, we snuck by it. Man, we were lucky. The storm didn't show up. We weren't lucky. They were wrong. They predicted wrong. You know, I mean, they get paid to be accurate, I would think. I have been told that the meteorologists do not get, they get paid to get, if they get paid to get it wrong. If they get paid to get it wrong, then they're earning their money because they're always getting it wrong. You know, I mean, other countries are really good when it comes to predicting weather. With all this technology, power Doppler and all this type of things, Mach 7 and all this technology and all these windmills they got going around, they can't get the weather right. You know, because a lot of people are depending on these guys to get the weather right, get it accurate. You know, because you got police, fire department, you got shelters, you got people working out here in the weather. They want to they have to get the weather right. You screw up the weather, all of these people are going to be pissed off at you. And then you're going to say, wow, you know, I'm only the messenger, folks. I'm just a predictor. But the minute that the weather is very nice, very cooperating, beautiful outside, these guys and girls, they take responsibility for it. Oh, thank you. I brought you good weather today. Oh, thank you. I'm going to bring you some more good weather tomorrow. But the minute they get it all wrong, I'm just a messenger. I'm a predictor, you know. All right, let's get off that garbage. Okay, we were talking about the Republican convention with Donald Trump. And it's going to be interesting, folks. I have the convention over here on my television, but I can't do it right now. I can't watch that over. I'm watching it out of the side corner of my eye, but you know, I got to pay attention to what I'm doing here. We'll have reports on it probably tomorrow. Okay, this is my first day back on the radio, on the internet radio, because I've had, you know, I take 3 days off for writing and to, you know, get myself together because I have other things to do besides the radio show, and I have to prepare the show. I have to book guests. I have to, you know, create the show. So that takes time, and I use those days for that. And plus, I'm a family guy, so you have to take time with your family, right? You have to give them some time, or they will kick you out of the house. Okay, author Nancy Hartwell and Chicago weekend violence. It's been violent again. I don't, you know what? Sometimes when I hear so much about people being shot in Chicago on the weekends, you know, I don't really come up with numbers anymore. I just talk about violence as a whole. As a whole, because something is not being done. Our Chicago police officers, I don't know, they can't seem to get this right, because we're having muggings, robberies. I mean, people are getting off the train at night. I mean, the robberies are taking place early in the morning, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. People are coming home from work. They're getting out of school or wherever they're coming from. At these early morning hours and getting robbed. Their phones are being taken from money, wallets, you know. And people are wondering, why aren't the police patrolling at those hours of the morning? I'm even wondering that. I mean, you get off work at 12 midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning. You expect to see at least a few police out here patrolling, but they don't patrol at night. And this is why a lot of this crime is going on in Chicago, maybe in some other parts of the country too, because police officers aren't patrolling at hours they should be patrolling. And the bad guys know this. They know when the police are patrolling, and they know when the police are not patrolling. And I'm pretty sure that the police department now is probably going to start putting foot traffic and patrol cars out in some of these areas, these high-end areas of the city where the crime is spiking. Well, I think we had about 30 or 50 shootings over the weekend. It's just a mess, okay? The violence is a mess. The crime is a mess. I mean, I don't know any other way of saying it. I don't know any other word to describe it. It's a mess. And we have to do something about it. And that's what the show is all about, making the world a better place. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to say again, my guest is Nancy Hartwell. And she's a Facebook friend. She's a wonderful person. She's a nice person. And she's a doctor. And we're going to get her insight on human trafficking. I'm pretty sure that also equates to sex trafficking. So, but we'll ask her about it, because I'm pretty sure she's more of an expert than I am on this subject. All right. Well, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Google. I'm all over the place. All right. We're going to take a break right here, a musical break, and we will return. right, welcome back to the show. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Folks, it's a great day. It's always a great day when I'm on the air. I just love this job. Yeah, it's a job. I'm not doing it for free, but it's a job. You have to get paid. All righty. There's been some things that matters. And, you know, it just bothers me that there's so many haters out there trying to label Black Lives Matter, a terrorist group. They're even petitioning the White House to sign off on this particular group of people as a terrorist group. How could anybody do that? And people are, last time I heard, it was 1,000 signatures on this petition. And it went to the White House, I believe. And I think the White House knows about it. And they want him to, the President Obama, to sign off to saying, hey, this is a hate group. Black Lives Matter is a hate group. And I've said this before on previous shows. Black Lives Matter is not a hate group. I know some people out there is going to disagree with me, but that's okay. That's fine. You have your thoughts. I have mine. Black Lives Matter is not a hate group. Black Lives Matter came to life during these police shootings and police brutality. That's where these groups came from. Basically, they're saying, killing and shooting and abusing African Americans. Because let's face it, folks, the police have been brutal to African Americans, especially African American males. And this is where Black Lives Matter evolved from. They are not a hate group. They are Black Lives Matter. These people are made up of high school, college, and grammar school students, some older people who are trying to stop the violence. They are out there trying to stop it. They're not out there trying to cause it. And I stake my reputation on that. They are not out there trying to cause it. Black Lives Matter. They are not about police brutality. They are about anti-police brutality. There's so many people getting that wrong, and they shouldn't get it wrong. You know, and most of those people out there who are advocating violence against the police officers, they have nothing whatsoever to do with Black Lives Matter, or they should not. You know, or maybe they're, yeah, I don't know. If someone's saying they're involved with Black Lives Matter and they're advocating violence on the police officers, that person probably is not a member, lying about being a member. Because that's not what they're about. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, everybody. And it's such a beautiful day here. I just had to get that off my shoulder because I think there's too many haters out here. And we got to do something about it because this show is about making the world a better place, one show at a time. Let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just wondering to your last point that you brought up about the Black Lives Matter movement. I think you were right in the sense that early on it was about anti-police brutality and protesting, you know, police officers not being brought to justice for things they've done. But I think you'd have to agree that now it has shifted to an anti-police movement. And the reason that is the case is that a lot of the people that have joined the movement are people who are associated with the criminal element. Whether you got a lot of thugs, a lot of drug dealers, gang members, as a way to try to potentially get less of a police presence in a lot of inner city neighborhoods. which would then allow them to gain more and more control and be able to be freedom to, you know, do whatever criminal element that they're engaging into. And that's what you're seeing now. And that's the truth. Like, because I'm from Minnesota, and a lot of the people that are getting in that movement are people who have, you know, associations with a lot of criminal elements in my city. And that's the simple truth of the matter. And that's why the movement isn't taken seriously, and it's not considered that credible, because people don't see it as something that's actually in the pursuit of justice.
Oh, okay. I may buy that. But I think overall the group is about, you know, anti is they're not anti-police. They're anti-produced police brutality. And I do think that, yeah, there's some people going to try and infiltrate the group who are going to try to give it a bad name. But I still believe that it's about anti-police brutality, and they're not anti-police. That's my belief, you know, but there's haters out there. There's people going to try to infiltrate the group and bring it down. That's what I think.
Yeah, but you have to also take into consideration, for example, when the civil rights movement in the 60s happened, when they engaged in the peaceful non-resistance protests, what they were doing is, there's a saying that when the rich can speak harshly, but the poor must use entreaty. That's a proverb that has to do with the concept of, if you have the weaker hand in any situation, you have to use more gentle, pleading behavior versus when you have the strong hand in a situation, someone can dictate what to do or what not to do. And so the people in the civil rights movement understood we are currently an oppressed minority, therefore we have to conduct ourselves in a certain way to appeal morally against the people who are oppressing us. And because they knew that America was a Christian nation, they said, we're going to conduct ourselves in a way to then get their consciences to wake up to the wrong that they're doing. And that's why it was so successful. Now, let's fast forward to today. A lot of these young kids who are out here have no concept of this respect, give respect to get respect. It's a, I deserve it. You're supposed to treat me this way. You're obligated. And they've completely lost the concept of you have to conduct yourself in a certain way that's worthy of respect. You can't go out and act a fool and then demand people treat you with respect and dignity. That's ridiculous. And this generation now, they don't have that way of thinking. And so this movement then is not taken serious by the world and by the majority of Americans, because what they see is a double standard. They're saying you're out here protesting against police brutality, but what you're not even talking about is the fact that in every major city in America, young black men committing the vast majority of violent crime, and it's become a nuisance and a burden to everybody. Police departments, city government, and the people living in the community, regardless of the black, we're all young. They look at this movement and say, it's not real, because look at what you people are doing. How are you going to sit there and try to demand justice when you're perpetuating the most crime? Therefore, people off the top automatically take the side of the police, because they constantly see and have to constantly interact with black violent crime. But, you know, you can't tell that to people these days, because civil rights movement was, which was, we're going to conduct ourselves in a way that's above reproach, so that our opponents have nothing they can say against us, and our conduct will actually
Agree. I totally agree. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. I will be right back. Stay right there where you are. I will be back in about a second. Thank you. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network. WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hello, George. This is Nancy Hartwell.
Hey, this is me, Nancy.
Yeah,
hey,
hi.
How's
how
going,
are you?
Nancy? I'm okay. Folks, this is one of my Facebook friends, Nancy. Nancy Hartwell. And I believe you've been on the show before, right?
Yes, once before.
Yeah, once before. I remember. And thanks for coming on the show. did you get my email?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. And folks, this is author Dr. Nancy Hartwell, and she one of the things you're advocating is human trafficking. Can you tell us something about that?
Yes, I'm an advocate against human trafficking and the 21st century slave trade. Which unfortunately is flourishing. Experts estimate that even though slavery has been outlawed officially practically everywhere, there are as many as 30 million slaves on planet Earth today, more than at any time in human history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a really scary statistic. And so I spend a lot of my time helping parents understand how traffickers work and give tips for how they can protect our kids against this horrible, horrible crime.
Wow. It is something. And, you know, I always equated human trafficking with sex trafficking.
Sex trafficking is the second most important part of human trafficking, but the more people are forced into labor servitude than they are into sexual servitude. In Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand, there is a huge labor market for forced labor in the fishing industry. In West Africa, children are forced into slavery in the cocoa trade. In the Caribbean, children are forced into servitude in the sugar industry. It's all over the world.
Wow.
And it's not just sex trafficking, although that is my specialty. In fact, the sex trade on the Persian Gulf. I've written 3 books on that topic and that are based on true stories, by the way, which makes them even spookier than they seem to be. It's a big problem. Yeah.
Nancy, what made you in the beginning? What made you really, really interested in this subject, this atrocity that's going on? What got you into it?
I had a good friend who was trafficked, and she just disappeared.
Okay.
They found her bicycle. Yeah, they found her bicycle next to the road, a beautiful, tall, blonde German. And a few weeks later, we heard rumors that she had been sold to a sultan in Libya. And that made a lot of sense because nothing else seemed to add up to anything, and nobody's ever heard from her or seen her since. But I think about her practically every day, and And this is when I was a pretty good-looking blonde myself in my 20s, and I thought, hecky darn, that could have been me. And that spooked me so bad that I started realizing that it was an ongoing problem. And once people find out that you're interested in this topic, you get bombarded with stories. And so I started collecting stories. And then finally, 40 years later, I had time to sit down and write them down.
You know, it's crazy that in the 21st century, there's still slavery, sex and slavery around the country, around the world, you know.
World, yes.
And around the world. And it's appalling, you know, and it's really happening.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who say, why are we still talking about this? Didn't we deal with that ages ago? But guess what? You can pass a law against murder. We still have murders. You can pass a law against almost anything. That doesn't solve the problem. As long as people can make money doing something, they will try to do it. On the Persian Gulf, a really good-looking, tall, young blonde can retail for more than $100,000 easily.
Wow.
And as long as somebody is prepared to pay that kind of money, somebody is going to supply the market. Yeah.
What are the titles of your three books on this subject?
Okay, the flagship book, which has also, by the way, been translated into French, Spanish, and German, is called Harem Slave. And I'm pleased to say that at one point it reached number 7 in all fiction on Amazon, which is nearly 3 million titles. And it's a perennial bestseller. It's also won an award. Then there's the sequel, which is called Prince Ibrahim's Favorite. It has also won an award and is a strong seller. And then there's a companion volume called Voices from the Harem, which is a collection of 111 stories, once again, based on true stories of girls who all found themselves in the same slave harem, how they got there, where they were before, how they were trying to cope with it, et cetera. Yes, that's called Voices from the Harem. It's the human trafficking series.
Okay. It says here that you've traveled to 44 countries and you can speak over 20 languages?
Well, I can get into trouble in more than 20 languages. I didn't say how many I could get back out of trouble in.
No, it says well, she's traveled to 44 countries and can get thoroughly into trouble. Okay, I see it. Okay, into more.
Right. I do speak about a dozen, and then a smattering of a whole bunch more. That dozen only counts the languages that I studied for 2 years or more. It does not count the ones that I studied for 8 months or 6 months or a year. It does not count Latin that I studied for 2 years. It does not count ancient Egyptian that I studied for a year, et cetera. But I love languages and get carried away learning about the new words and the new expressions. I really love the human language. I think it's one of the greatest symbols of human ingenuity that we have. Yeah.
And it says here, for 7 years you've been a technical writer for a division of the Washington Post.
I worked on Capitol Hill.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes. It was a special division called Legislate, and we tracked Congress by computer. Every inch, every vote, every committee markup, every hearing, everything, every version of every bill we had online. and you could compare this congressman's record with your perfect profile if you were a lobbyist in some particular issue. We also keyworded the legislation so that people could find it, even though Congress often used very ingenious ways to disguise. for example, when I worked there, school busing was a big issue. But you could look and you would not find the word bus in a bill that was about school busing. Mm-hmm. They would call them mobile educational units.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that if you were just using a computer, you wouldn't be able to find it. But we would keyword it with bus so that people could actually find it. Yes. Yes, it was a very, very interesting
nowadays
job.
You just probably just write about – but nowadays you'd probably just write about your experiences doing those type of things back then.
Yeah, well, actually, I've taken a break, George, from writing about football, writing about 21st century slave trade, and I've written a book about football. It will soon be appearing.
Now, that's a contrast.
Well, I said I needed a vacation.
Football.
Yeah, it's in the final stages.
Writing about football, going from that from sex trafficking or human trafficking to football.
You can't write about sex trafficking all day long; it drives you nuts.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Sometimes, George, I sit in front of my computer and I just shake when I think that actual human beings are living the lives that I describe in my books. So I needed a vacation from that. So I've written a football survival guide. It's geared toward women and immigrants or other people who didn't grow up eating, drinking, breathing the game. And it's a hard game to figure out unless somebody tells you what's going on. So this book explains what's going on. And then I've also collected dozens and dozens of hilarious football stories that I have included. There's one on almost every page. It'll be out probably in a couple weeks. Called the Football Survival Guide.
And it will be totally available on Amazon.
On Amazon also, yes. And I'm currently writing a brownie cookbook.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen a post to two of yours about cooking, and it was great.
Yeah.
I love cooking, too. I think it's a great thing.
Really? Yeah. I ran a catering company for 6 years, and over that time, I took the best brownie recipe I could find, and then I tinkered with it for 2 years. And I think I've come up with with phenomenal brownies, amaretto brownies, raspberry cheesecake swirl, on and on and on and on. So that's my current project. Yeah.
You go from human trafficking to football to cooking. You are totally versatile.
Or totally insane. depends on your point of view.
Yeah. All right. Tell everybody where they can find your book, your website, and all this kind of thing. You know.
Okay. All right. Let me put in a plug. I've written a 5-part course on human trafficking and modern day slavery that is available free on my website, which is nancyhartwell.com. Just send us your email address and you download a different part of it every day. And by the time you finish that course, you will know a lot about how traffickers operate and the extent of the problem, and also some tips for what you can actually do. So that's on my website, nancyhartwell.com. You can get the books, you can through my website or through Amazon.com, And they will soon also be available in bookstores nationwide.
Wow.
Yes, I'm working with a hard copy publisher, and two of the three books are ready, but we're going to release all three of them at once. So that's
wow,
also
that sounds great.
A few weeks away. Yes. Yes.
Oh, that sounds great. And I wish you a lot of luck with that. That sounds marvelous. And
well, thank you.
It's for real. Is there anything that you want to say that you haven't said already?
Well, I'd just like to tell parents to really monitor mm-hmm. their kids' websites. Do it with them rather than behind their back, so that it's an educational process rather than a police action. And you can point out postings that are full of red flags. You can point out pictures that never in a million years should have been put on the internet, and give them tips that not everybody out there is a good person with good intentions, and they should be very, very careful about the information that they release on the internet. That's
all right.
Real important.
George, it is
great
important
to hear your voice.
Great to hear yours. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Author Dr. Nancy Hartwell on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for coming. We can talk again.
Thank you, George. Okay. You.
Bye bye. All right. That was Nancy Hartwell on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. She's one of my Facebook friends, folks. So. I got a lot of them. And this is what this show is all about, is making the world a better place. And that's what it's all about. And I have those kinds of guests on the show that will encourage you somehow to be a better person if you so desire to be more than what you already are. All right.
Joining me now with reaction, D.L. Hughley, actor, radio host, and author of Black Man, White House, An Oral History of the Obama Years. D.L., thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I didn't know my family was going to be here.
What did you make of it? Because you were shaking your head.
I think that cops have a different perspective than us, and I think it was interesting to hear Mark Furman, who was actually got in trouble for perjuring himself, called somebody a liar. It's ridiculous to me.
Mm-hmm. But what do you make of the fact that she had inconsistencies in her story?
I think the cop had inconsistencies in his too. Mm-hmm. To me.
So then you let the evidence play out.
Here's my problem. It is my belief that no matter what happens, no matter what we see, the cops are given a presumption of innocence. If that same tape showed a suspect doing something, that would be all the prosecution would need. They would say the evidence is all right here. But a cop gets a presumption of innocence that is, no matter what they see, we can see somebody getting shot to death. They go, we don't know what happened before. We don't know what happened after. Mm-hmm. I know this, that in a state, in both these states, men, a lot of men in Louisiana, 47% of people carry guns. Men carry guns. So men having guns on them can't be that unusual. Why wasn't the first question, rather than assuming, do you have a permit for that? Mm-hmm. Those are states that you can carry a gun.
But you're making assumptions because we don't know what happened.
No.
What we have right now is her testimonial, which doesn't capture the actual event. Do we know whether she's credible? Do we know whether...
We know this. We know he had a permit to carry a gun.
But that doesn't answer any of the questions.
That absolutely answers the question.
If he pulled the firearm on the officer, if he didn't disclose it, if the officer felt threatened...
Why on earth would you... Here's what we do know. He had a permit to carry a gun. When you get a permit to carry a gun, they tell you exactly how to act when a police officer pulls you
over. That doesn't mean he didn't threaten the officer.
You're willing to give them a presumption of innocence.
I'm not giving them presumption. Well, the law gives them the presumption of innocence.
No. They're bad giving them a presumption.
I'm saying we don't know the facts.
I mean, we
saw this happen with Michael Brown of Ferguson.
And we still don't know the facts there. We have a police officer's word and a grand jury's word.
No, we have the Department of Justice's word.
The Department of Justice shut down Ferguson. Ferguson had to be shut down because it was so corrupt.
The Department of Justice found that the police there had endemic racism. They found that.
Right.
But they also exonerated Officer Gary Wilson.
That's not a...
And they found Hands Up,
something.
Don't Shoot was a lie.
Let me ask you something.
And that Michael Brown was the aggressor.
Wow. Here's what I'll say.
Don't wow me.
Don't tell me not to wow you. I can say wow if I want to, and
that
I'll tell you
what
this.
They found,
I'll tell you this. They found systemic racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's unbelievable. They also found systemic racism. And we know that Darren Wilson left the department because it was so racist it had to be disbanded. And he went to Ferguson, another department that is rife with racism.
So that makes him a racist.
Absolutely. You know, I have no problem.
Michael Brown grabbed that officer's gun and tried to shoot him in his patrol car.
No one has proven that.
Eric Holder's DOJ concluded.
And Eric Holder's DOJ concluded that that department was so rife with
corruption. That's a dodge. I already conceded that, DL.
Hey, Megan,
we're talking about Michael Brown and the lie.
Let's be clear.
Of Hands Up, Don't Shoot.
I don't dodge at all. I'm here in Fox News.
Let's stay on Michael Brown.
We're talking about the young man that just got murdered in Minnesota.
And the rush to judgment and the assumption you know something when you don't actually know it.
First off, what I tell you is this. It is not uncommon for you all to see one thing. The only place racism doesn't exist is Fox News and the police department.
That's absolutely true. That's insulting. You just insulted millions of people watching this channel.
And you know what? I'm insulted by the things I hear on this network, so we're even. I could care less about insulting people that insult me on a daily basis.
You're making a point that is, before the insults, the point you started to make is true, and we can talk about that whites perceive the situation when it comes to
I think a lot
Let
of people on this network have never seen a black man anything
could,
deserved.
Could you hold the insults for a second so we can have a productive conversation? You were going to make the points that whites see certain incidents differently than blacks do, and we saw that in the O.J. Simpson case when the verdict came down.
Sure.
I'll give you that. Most reasonable people will give you that. But you know what shuts down all reasonable dialogue is throwing out the term racism before it's been proven.
You know what's, first off, I'll say this. I believe that there is a benefit of the doubt given to police officers. It's not given to anybody else. And maybe, obviously they do a tough job. You can't. In 2006, the FBI came out with a report that said that police departments were rife with white supremacy. Said it, not me. So why would I believe, if I know that? I don't know a black man that hasn't had a run-in with a police officer, mm-hmm. from the highest to the lowest.
So my perception of this is
based on the experience I've had, just like yours are.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not willing to give them a benefit of the doubt. I have seen a lot of things. I lived in the city that Mark Furman policed that also had to be taken over by the federal government.
It's very dangerous when you get to the point where you paint with an entire group with the same brush based on the bad actions of a
That is amazing to hear on this network. That really is. That really is. Amazing to hear on this network. The only place racism
doesn't exist. Thanks for being
here. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Megyn Kelly talking to D.L. Hewitt on her show, the Megyn Kelly Show on Fox News. And I really don't have many people or many clips from Fox News because I really am not a fan of it. But there's a lot of people who aren't a fan of Fox News, cable Fox News, and they watch it. But they're not that much of a fan, but, you know, they watch it anyway. Yeah, it's funny. It's totally funny. And I want to once again thank my guests, author Nancy Hartwell. I think she was just enthralled to be talking to me, but that's great. That's wonderful because we've been Facebook friends for a long time. And this is all about making the world a better place one show at a time, to talk about times, a worldwide show. Yeah, we're all over. I mean, people listen to this show from everywhere, and I really do appreciate that. I truly do appreciate that. And everybody out there, have a great week. This is Monday. Have a great rest of the week. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just saying have a great week. And stop the violence if you can. You know, if you're out there, if you know somebody who is prone to violence, talk to them about stopping the violence. And I think Black Lives Matter is a group that advocates stopping the violence. Yeah, I understand that a lot of times bad people infiltrate the group. Bad people try to bring the group down. Bad people, thugs, criminals, and infiltrate the group to give the group a bad name. But they are not. But legitimate members of Black Lives Matter, they are not about killing police officers. They are not about killing cops. They are about ending police brutality against people of color. I understand the arguments out there. I really do. There are people out there all over want to tear this group down because a few bad apples take the name of Black Lives Matter. Yeah, the thugs are going to join. The thugs are going to get out there, and they should be thrown in jail. I mean, you got thugs all over the internet that's threatening police officers. Yeah, it's video. I mean, video of this guy, some African American, some guy from the criminal side of the town, low income, food stamp getting, ghetto talking, bum and thug, on a YouTube video, sitting down waving a gun on the video and threatening police. He was threatening to gun down more police on the video. It just so happens the police officer showed up at his door. And a lot of people are pissed off because the police officers did not arrest this guy. Police officers with a gun that he was waving around in a video that he recorded, threatening police officers as he was waving his gun around in the video. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was a YouTube sensation. He was talking ghetto slang. Nobody hardly knew what he was talking about. He was talking that slum, thug, ghetto slang, but waving a gun around. But we all knew what he was talking about. He was, if you could decipher what he was saying, he was talking about killing cops. An African-American talking about killing cops, trying to get revenge on previous cops, police killings for Anton Sterling and this other guy who was in a car and they shot point blank. I can't think of his name right now. But I'm going to stick to my guns and say Black Lives Matter is not a terrorist group. You may have some people infiltrate the group, get into the group, try to be a part of the group that are thugs, of course. But that doesn't, I don't believe it taints the entire message of the group. Just got to get the thugs out, the criminals out, the element out. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is just about 7 o'clock p.m. straight up Chicago time. And it's been fun, folks. It's been great. And they're talking about it is hot. It is hot. It's going to be, from my understanding, by the weather, the meteorologist, the weather industry for Chicago, it's going to be in the triple digits by the end of the week. I don't know if that's going to be true. The weather people are usually off here. So on the weather, that is. They're usually off a few degrees here or there. It may not be triple digits, but they are. I think they're backing off on that now. You know, they're saying 97, maybe 96, 97. You know, they're backing off on the triple digits. Of course they are, because because they would be wrong if it never happened. So they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to have egg on their face, put it that way. All right, but it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful time. It's hot, folks. It is burning up in Chicago, and it's beautiful. But, hey, wow, it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful, beautiful time, and we want to try to make the world a better place. We want to try to stop some of the violence. We want to do more than just sit back and talk about it and analyze it and try to come up with a reason to why it's happening. We want to come up with reasons, with solutions to try and stop it if we can. The world has gone mad. You know, I mean, we, the United States of America, we cannot be fighting each other. And I understand when some people say, wow, you bitch and you riot and you argue about police brutality, police shooting unarmed blacks, but you never say anything when a black kills another black. And I can understand it. Why are you, you know, what is that? And I've been arguing the intricacies of that for a long time, for a long time. Yeah, I mean, there's so much said about when a police officer is misusing his police powers on an unarmed person of color, then when a person of color shoots another person of color. I mean, when a black shoots another black, you hardly hear anything about it. It doesn't go national. But let a police officer shoot a black, I mean, God damn, it's all over the place. And I always thought that was totally unfair. But then I had to think about it. I said, well, of course, we hold police officers to a higher standard than we do a thug who shoots another thug. You know, we hold them to a higher standard. They are supposed to serve and protect. The guy who's driving by and shooting, he's just a criminal. Police officers are supposed to be above that, okay? They are paid with taxpayer money. Police officers are supposed to be above that. There's a difference there. So that's the difference that I see, and that's the true difference. People, that a black is more likely to be killed by another black than a police officer. A black is more likely to be a victim of any kind of crime from another black person, police officer. So I would never advocate killing a police officer, or no one would ever appear on this show advocating doing that. I don't think most rational people say police officers are out here putting their lives on the line every day. You even got some you even got police officers right now who are afraid to do their jobs, and that's a damn shame. And I mean, if you don't want to, if you're afraid to do your job because you're afraid you're going to get ambushed or something, which it may never come, this may never happen, but you have to go out there and do your job or quit. I admit police officers, they have a hard job, and a lot of police officers are taking these shootings hard. A lot of them are taking it hard, and a lot of them aren't even arresting police, arresting criminals who should be arrested, taking them off the street because they're afraid that, you know, it's going to be a lawsuit or something, or someone's going to retaliate. You can't do that. You have a job to do. You are getting paid to do a job. You know, and there is no doubt that they have a job to do. And if I was a police officer, I would probably be looking over my shoulder every second, every minute, whether I was in uniform or out. The fact is that I'm a police officer, and everybody out there knows it. This is a bad time to be a police officer, I think. Even if, you know, nothing happens, And I'm praying and I'm hoping that no more cops are killed or murdered. And if you think about it, the person who killed these police officers, shot them down in cold blood, these people acted alone. These were one person murdering machine. It wasn't a group of people. It wasn't terrorists. It was just a one man with a agenda in each case, one man with an agenda. And both of these suspects are dead. Both of them were African American. Both of them were military. Now that's the biggest thing. They were both military men. So they knew what they were doing when they shot these police officers. They knew what they were doing because they were trained in the military to shoot like that. No one in their right mind should be advocating to kill police officers. It is not right. And if Black Lives Matters, if they are advocating against, if they're advocating violence against police officers, then they should be disbanded. But I don't think so. I think the bad element, as I've said before, infiltrated this group and probably taken it over, where they become now a bunch of thugs. But it didn't start out that way. But somehow I'm still with Black Lives Matters because I don't think the group as a whole are thugs. I don't think the group as a whole are thugs. Who knows? Maybe these thugs have taken over Black Lives Matters. Ran the good ones away and the bad ones infiltrated. So the group becomes a thug group. I don't know. I have to get some more information on it. I have to research it some more. But I do know in the beginning of the group, Black Lives Matter, they were not anti-police. They were anti-police brutality. Now, if they changed the makeup of the group, that's something I have to look into. Because who knows? Like the caller said, the thugs, the bad guys, the criminals may have infiltrated the group to give it a bad name, a name such as terrorist. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
Good evening, friends. We start tonight with a developing story in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Justice Department has opened an investigation into the fatal police shooting of a 37-year-old man named Alton Sterling. Sterling was outside a local convenience store selling homemade CDs early Tuesday morning, which he had done previously. Officers arrived after a caller said Sterling threatened someone with a gun. Cell phone video shows officers pinning Sterling to the ground. Someone shouts, "He's got a gun." The next sound, a gunshot. The autopsy report shows Sterling died of multiple gunshot wounds to the chest and back.
The individuals involved in his murder took away a man with children who depended upon their daddy on a daily basis. My son is not the youngest. He is the oldest of his siblings. He is 15 years old.
Police say they also have dash cam, body cam, and store surveillance video of the shooting death. Although a lieutenant warned in the police department, the body cam became dislodged and may not be reliable. The footage has not been released to the public, but Baton Rouge's police chief confirmed Sterling did have a gun.
Officers arrived, Sterling was armed, and the altercation ensued that resulted in the loss of his life. Exactly what happened at this time is the reason we are here today. Like you, there are a lot that we did. There is a lot that we do not understand. And at this point, like you, I am demanding answers.
Police also have identified the officers involved. Blaine Salamani has been with the department for 4 years, and Howie Lake II has been on the staff for 3 years. Both have been placed on administrative leave. Protests have erupted in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, demanding justice for Sterling and chanting Black Lives Matter. The question is, will justice be served? For a legal analysis of what is unfolding, let's turn now to criminal defense attorney Sue Ann Robinson. Ms. Robinson, I appreciate your time tonight. I want your first impression of the videotape that we have shown, and I want to point out that this videotape was videotape that was taken by the store owner, who reportedly said that there was no altercation until the police tased the gentleman. What's your impression of what we know tonight?
My impression is that excessive force was used, and it was used without justification. If you look at the video, it's clear that two officers are on top of Mr. Sterling, and he's subdued. So even at the point where one of the officers says that they see a weapon or that there's a gun present, which if the call was because he had a gun, they are already aware of this issue when they tackled him to the ground, then at that point he was already pinned down. There was no threat to the police officers as they already had him subdued. So to then shoot him while on top of him is excessive and it's not justified.
How is law enforcement going to justify this? You have a man who's pinned on his back by two officers. How would they justify this shooting?
Well, they're going to justify the shooting by prosecuting the victim in the court of public opinion. They're going to start to discuss his criminal history, his criminal background, if he ever jaywalked, if he ever spit on a sidewalk. And that's the only way, really, such a thing could be justified, when a video is showing you that two officers have a man pinned down on the ground next to a vehicle where he's immobile. He's not moving. He's already been tased. And then after being tased and pinned down, he's shot to death. And the important thing here with the charges, a state attorney is going to have to take it frame by frame. So even after the first time he was shot, was then the second shot necessary, and then the third, and then was the fourth also necessary? Was the fifth then necessary? It's excessive in the beginning, and then as the shots continue, it becomes more and more evident and clear that the force is not justified and overly excessive.
All right. Sue Ann Robinson, I appreciate your legal expertise tonight and joining us here on the news. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank
you. All right. All right. You ever notice when the police shoot an African-American and that African-American happened to have a gun, they'll say, well, he had a gun. He had a gun. He had a gun. But they fail tell you that the gun that he had was registered and that he legally owned it. You see what I'm saying? They failed to tell you. Well, he had a gun when I shot him, but he had a gun. He had a gun. He had a gun. But they failed to tell. Right then and there, we said, well, if he had a gun, then, hey, wow, there's no problem. I mean, he was shot. He was, the officer was afraid of being shot. The officer was in fear of his life. That's the first thing we're going to think when we hear that he had a gun, he had a gun, he had a gun. But they never tell you that the gun that he had was legal. It was legal. He had a permit for it. And more likely, he told the police officers that he had a gun. The police officers knew that he had a gun. With the police officer, if you got a gun, you got a gun, I'm going to shoot you, you know. But some police officers, I feel, forget that carrying a gun in the United States is illegal, you know, especially if you have a permit, you know, and you've gone through all the training. And some states, you don't even need training for a gun. You don't need a permit. You just walk into the gun store and buy a gun, bang, that's it. But in some states, you got to have training. You got to have one of those conceal and carry permits. And in some states right now, I believe Texas, you have open and carry. That means you don't have to hide a damn thing. You can carry your gun right there on your side, have your assault weapon through across your back, you know. And the bottom line is there's too many guns out here, whether legal or not legal. There's too many of them. And when you have guns out here, you're going to have shootings and killings. Too many people own guns, and they own them legally. They're not trafficking these guns. They're going and buy them illegally, and they're going out shooting people. More likely, if somebody owns a gun, they get in an argument, somebody gets pissed off, somebody gets disrespected, somebody gets angry, they go home, get their legal gun, and go back and just shoot up the damn place, then put the guns to their heads, and bing, pow, you know. It's just too many guns out here. That's what it is. And you've got people buying them legally. That even some of these people who are buying the guns legally are some of the ones who are hotheads. You don't want to sell a gun to a hothead or to somebody who is mentally unstable, but these kinds of are getting a hold of a gun and they're getting it legally. So, like I just got through saying, somebody gets pissed off, somebody gets angry, they'll go to a party, you're pissed off, mad. First thing you want to do is go home and get a gun. Oh, you disrespected me. Pow, pow, pow. And it's all over. It's all over. Then you got these 2 cent gangbangers, these dirt bags out here, these uneducated idiots, you know, waving guns all around, threatening people. Now, those kind of people should be locked the hell up. Especially if you're waving guns around on video and threatening the police. And a lot of people are saying, well, why didn't the police go and arrest him for threatening the lives of police officers? That's what I would like to know. This thug should have been arrested. Waving a gun around on a video, YouTube video, threatening police. And this was recent. And the police went to his home. Went to the guy's home. The thug's home, the uneducated fool, they went to his. All right, we had a little bit of technical difficulty there, folks. I hope you hung in there. All right. Okay, we got it. Not. Okay, there we go. A little late. Always technical difficulties, folks, on the Torch World Show. Making the world a better place one show at a time.
Father.
All right, we're going to take this on out. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And I hope you had a great time on the show today. All right, signing off, George Wilder Jr. Bye-bye.
That we may
level place.